It's good to be here. I always enjoy being with you guys. Thank you. And the worship was just fantastic. We are so blessed to have such a great ministry amongst us. And who wouldn't be full of joy when life is so good, when you know the love of God, you know, come on. Right, I'm going to get on with my talk, otherwise I will be in danger of overrunning. So, for those of you that know me well, you know that I've had a lot of joy recently. Fantastic joy. I've been to the Himalayas, and we lived in the Himalayas for a while as a family, but this time I went trekking into the high places, and I had a fantastically glorious time in the mountains. And so that's just one of the things that Father loves to give us our heart's desires, doesn't he? And for me, that's been one of my heart's desires for about 20 years. So to walk in that was just brilliant. So that's been good. But since then, I've had a bad back. I've had 4 weeks on painkillers. That's not good. That's not good. But anyway, God is good. And we're going to look at joy and love this morning. And I want to reread those verses we read earlier, because you can never read them too many times. This book just brings us so much life. And Luke chapter 2, when the angels come and visit the shepherds, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Always makes you want to sing a song. That's very dangerous when I've got the microphone. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Glory! Oh, no, okay. We've done that already, haven't we? "Shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." It's so funny that almost every time you read about the angel, people get afraid. We always think it's going to be great to meet an angel. Not most people end up on their faces. And it says, "Do not be afraid." The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings." Good news. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all people. Fantastic. What a great announcement. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem," that is the town of David, "and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Noisy radiators behind me. So yeah, so this is the angels came to announce good news for all the people. They came to announce good news to everybody. Not just to them, but for all people. God's heart is always to reach the whole world. And when he comes with good news, it's for every person. Every person sitting in this room, God has come with good news for. And that good news is that a Saviour has been born. Someone who's going to save us. Someone who's going to redeem us. Someone who's going to rescue us. Someone who's going to take us out of all the mess that we find ourselves in. Someone's going to come and help us. That is good news. Called the Anointed One, called the Messiah, call him whatever you like. But he's the person that's going to rescue us. He's the rescuer. The Supreme One, having power and authority. And you're going to find him in a manger. Now, we love Christmas stories. I quite like what Mark did with the kids earlier. I was doing the glories with the rest of us. I love that. I love Christmas, the time of year. I love the nativity. I love the shepherds. Where are you, shepherds? I love you. Robin, I'm disappointed with you. You've taken off your shepherd's outfit. I love the shepherds. I still love you, Robin. And I love the kings, and I love the star, and I love Mary and Joseph and the baby, and the baby lying in the manger. Sometimes when the kids have their nativities, they take the baby out of the manger and swing them around the head. But I love all of that. But sometimes we don't get any further than that. And Tom Wright says this. It's like, how many people have got a dog here? Anybody got a dog? There's a few dog lovers. This is for you, okay? You've got a dog, and my dog suddenly develops a pathological hatred of cats. Where did that come from? It must be genetic, because, you know, in his first year as a dog, he's only a little fluffy thing, he was fine with cats. Cats were like any other moving thing. He just wanted to smell them and to find out what they were. But he's reached his kind of second year, he's nearly two, and now whenever he sees a cat, he's like, rrr! He wants to just, he's straining at the leash. If he was a big dog, I'd have trouble. A little dog, he can strain all he wants. But now, you know, so anyway, if there's something I want him to see, you know, I say, look, Frodo! What does he do? Well, he doesn't normally ignore me. Well, sometimes he might. But I say, look, Frodo! And he goes, he's looking at my finger. I say, no, look, Frodo! The dog never sees past the finger. He just gets the sign. And so often at Christmas, what we do is, God is saying, look! And we say, oh, isn't that beautiful? There's a baby born in a stable. There's a baby born amongst the animals. And he's laid in the feed. Oh, isn't that lovely? What a great little story. We miss what the sign, that's just a sign. The angel said, this is the sign for you that what I'm telling you is going to be true. Because you know, when people tell us stuff, okay, especially when they tell us good stuff, sometimes you think, yeah. Or am I the only one? Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. But he says, this will be the sign for you that I'm telling you the truth. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling bands and lying in a manger, because that's not an everyday occurrence. That's an unusual thing. So if you find it, maybe it is true. Maybe. You might dare to believe that something quite outrageous as what they've just proclaimed is true. Because they proclaim some outrageous things. That God is with them. Proclaimed outrageous things. So the real message was not about the manger, though that was a beautiful thing. The real message was the fact that God was going to bring peace to the earth. That was the message. Good news for everybody. There's a saviour. Fantastic news. Look. No, don't look at my finger. Look. This is the good news they came to bring. Now, okay, let's just pretend that we're shepherds. It would have been easier if we'd have been wearing shepherd's clothes. But we can all pretend that we're shepherds and that our lives are pretty rough. We spend a lot of time out on the hills, in the cold and or warm, you know, morning and night. These shepherds are out at night, watching over the flocks, protecting the sheep. It's pretty rough out there. We're pretty poor, as it is. To make matters worse, we're living in an occupied country. We've been overrun by the Romans, and they're taxing the hell out of us, and we don't like that very much. So we were already poor being shepherds, but now we're even poorer. And we're feeling pretty low. And we're waiting for this Messiah, because everybody knows that God's going to send a Messiah. He's been talking about it for years and years and years, hundreds of years. God's going to send a Saviour. We need a Saviour. We recognise we need a Saviour because our lives are in such a so oppressed. And then the angels come. And they tell them this wonderful news. Today, those hundreds of years that God's been promising a Saviour, today, that's come to pass. Today, the Saviour has been born. And we go to Bethlehem. We run to Bethlehem after they told us that news. And we find things exactly as the angels have said. How does that make us feel? How does that make us feel? I mean, if someone tells you the good news, you might think, that's pretty good, I like that. But if the angels show up and they tell you, and then you find that what the angel said is true, it fills you with joy. The promised deliverer, the promised rescuer has come now. They went back praising God and telling everybody what had happened. And that's what we do, isn't it, when we get something like that happen to us? I don't know, am I the only one? Yeah, come on, we do, don't we? When we get filled up with good news, when something exciting happens, we get jumpy. And we can't wait to blurt it out to someone. When we get engaged, Elijah, or, you know, we can't wait to tell people the good news. When we just bought a house, or whatever it is, you know, it's fantastic. These guys were full of good news. That God was actually going to save us. Now, the angel said he was going to bring peace to men. Yeah, and that's a funny phrase, peace to men on whom his favor rests, peace and goodwill toward men. And you could read that. Some people read that as an exclusive thing, only peace and goodwill to those who he likes. Actually, the Greek is very ambiguous there, and it's probably meaning to all men, peace, goodwill towards all men. Glory to God in heaven, but on earth, peace towards men, on whom his favor rests. He loves us. There are two ways that you could bring peace. There's a worldly way and a heavenly way. And the world at that time knew what the earthly way was because the Romans modeled it. They brought into being what they called Pax Romana, Roman peace, the peace that they brought to the whole world. What have the Romans ever done for us? World peace? Straight roads? Yep. The aqueducts? Okay. What's that? Wine? Yeah. Okay, apart from world peace, the aqueducts, the roads, the wine, what have the Romans ever done for us? Taxes. Okay, well, I'm going to stop that because that could take far too long. Yeah. It came about, political intrigue. Julius Caesar was assassinated. There were a triumvirate, three generals that were battling for domination of the world at the time. Eventually, Octavius becomes the single leader. He defeats Mark Antony in about 27 BC or something. And he then becomes the sole ruler and proclaims Caesar. And peace is enforced around the whole Roman Empire by the Roman army. I mean, all that means is there's no fighting, which actually is pretty good. If you're living in a world where countries are continually invading each other, no fighting is a good step. But it's not enough. And Julius Caesar was proclaimed divine after his death, and Octavius was the son of God who brought peace to the world. Augustus was the son of God who brought peace to the world. But what Luke is doing here is subverting all of that, saying that's not the way. Heaven's agenda is completely different. When heaven invades earth, it's to bring shalom, it's to bring real peace, it's to bring wholeness. It's not just to bring an absence of war, it's to bring health. It's to bring prosperity. It's to bring joy. It's to bring love. It's to bring real wholeness to all of our lives. And it comes with a little baby, innocent little baby, wrapped up in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I don't know about you, but I think that's just crazy. If I was the all-consuming, you know, all-powerful, all-loving, great God who made everything, and I wanted to save the world from its mess that it got itself into, what would I do? I might do something a bit quick, you might hope. What does he do? He sends a baby. Baby. It's hard to get your head around. Honestly. It could be squished in a moment. Herod tries to squish it. It's just unbelievable. But that's heaven's way. Heaven comes with gentleness. And the heavenly kingdom has to be freely chosen. The baby has to be welcomed. First of all, it's welcomed by Mary, the mother, but then it has to be welcomed by us. And the kingdom of God grows as disciples, as people choose willingly to say, yes, I want that baby in my life. And they choose to love those around them and spread the good news. That's how the kingdom of God comes. And we know that Jesus, of course, was called the Son of God because it was the Holy Spirit came on Mary. So you see the parallels there. You see, actually, but how beautiful is the heavenly kingdom compared to the worldly kingdom? How much lovelier is the way that our God chooses to bring peace? You know, as a father, sometimes I can get pretty riled in the house. I could want to bring peace immediately by force. It's never pretty if I do. God could do that if he wanted to. He could just come down and just in an instant bring absolute order and justice and peace and end pain and stuff. But it wouldn't be a very gracious place. It wouldn't be a very loving place. And actually, I just, the more I've gone on with Jesus, the more I love the fact that he's so gentle and humble. The more I love the fact that actually he waits to come at our speed. Like when you're going on a walk with your parents, you know, as you're a kid, some parents go rushing off and the kid's dragging along. But God is willing to go toddler speed with us. Just go at the speed that we want to go at, which is just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Okay, quickly. Joy for all. What is the joy that these angels were talking about? Saviour had come. That is the good news. A Saviour has come to rescue us from the mess that we find ourselves in. Now, we don't live in the Roman Empire. We're not oppressed. We don't have to pay taxes to Caesar. Well, we pay taxes. But even so, most of us would admit that actually life the way it is can sometimes feel oppressive, if we're honest. We don't always live on cloud nine. Things don't always go swimmingly. Stuff happens. And many, many times, growing up, many, many times I cried out, God, why me? God, help. I didn't know God at the time. And if we're honest, actually, most of us from time to time really welcome a Saviour to come in and just clean it all up. Rescue me. Rescue me. That's fantastic news, that God has raised up a Saviour to rescue us from all the stuff that would bring us down, all the stuff that would weigh us down, whether it's emotional stuff, whether it's physical stuff, whether it's financial stuff, whether it's relational stuff. God has brought a Saviour to lift us out of the stuff, to rescue us from it, because he doesn't want us to carry it. And he is for us, toward us. His favour rests on us. That is phenomenal. You know, that is phenomenal. I don't know, when you know you're loved, okay, when you know someone really, really, really loves you, it changes things. I don't know about you, but I can see someone in someone's face when they know they're loved. Sadie had a friend once, a college friend, and we spend some time with her. Every 5-6 months we'd get together. One time we got together and she's, my word, what's happened to you? She was glowing. Of course, it transpired. She found a love, and she got engaged, and she just got married a few months later. But love does that to us. When we know we're loved, lightness, glow, you know, it just fills us. We carry that ready bright glow around. See it in you. When we know we're loved, this just brings joy. And that's the bottom line. We're loved. And it brings such great joy to know that. Not just as a head knowledge, not just to someone say, Jesus loves you, because that just rolls off and that can just slip, slide away. It can never enter our hearts. But to know it, to really know it, to know we're loved, changes absolutely everything and brings such abundant joy. The shepherds knew that. They felt that joy. I knew that. When someone came and brought me the good news, when I first read about God's love for me personally, when I first understood it, I'd heard it before but never understood it. The day I first understood it, when I read a Bible in my university bedroom, I just suddenly understood that God really loved me. I prayed the first time in my life and asked him into my life. And such joy filled my life that night. I felt stupid at the time, praying to the ceiling, praying to the empty ceiling. I didn't know if anyone was listening. But the next day I woke up and felt such joy, such peace overflowing in my heart, because I knew that I was loved. And despite myself, despite all the shortcomings, despite the stuff I was embarrassed about or ashamed about, I was loved. Amazing. So these shepherds knew they were loved. But had their lives actually changed? If was anything really materially different about their lives from that moment forward? No, they were still in the same predicament. They were still oppressed. They were still poor. They were still sleeping rough. Their lives hadn't really changed. Can you imagine? You know, it would have been easy for that joy to have come a little jaded over time. It would have been easy to let it go. You know, and if we're honest, guys, when we come to Christ, there's such joy that fills our hearts. But sometimes our lives aren't materially changed. We still face the stuff we have to face. And we can let that stuff get on top of us. We need to let the good news on top of the stuff. So this talk is brought to you today by dog lovers. That quote from Henri Nouwen. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. You know, because we often think, don't we, that We become joyful because something good has happened to us. I spoke about that earlier, and that is true. You get spontaneous joy when something good happens to us. But actually, the underlying truth, the greater truth is we can choose joy every day, regardless of circumstances. And I could tell you story after story of missionaries who've been in awful circumstances who've experienced ecstatic joy. And you, people shoveling excrement from one hole to another, singing songs of joy because their hearts are bursting with love towards God and his appreciation of his love towards them. Joy doesn't really depend upon our circumstances. We think it might, but actually it doesn't. And all around the world, you see, actually, you can choose your way into joy. When I go to Nepal, you know, some of the poorest people in the world, they are some of the most joyful sometimes. It's not because of their circumstances, but because of what they're choosing. Joy comes through what we choose to think about and what we choose to do. You know, just like those shepherds, we can experience God's wonder and be filled with joy, but then let the wonder fade. And I love the theme we've got running through these few weeks. Never let the wonder fade. Never let the wonder go. Keep the wonder. Keep the wonder. Because our lives sometimes haven't changed the way we might want to see them change. We still face some of the same challenges. But if we remember what God has done, we take a step back, actually see what he's done, joy can begin to fill our hearts. They didn't have much to go on then. We've got 2,000 years of history to go on since then. 2,000 years and seeing how the gospel has come and come and come and how the good news keeps growing, how the world does get better. But there's the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church and just said he was in prison. He knew what it was like to get weighed down by stuff. You can get weighed down by stuff when you're in prison. And he knew that actually the way out of it was to think about different things. Just to put his mind somewhere else. To think about the bigger picture. What has God done? So he says to us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. That's tough, isn't it? Oh, my word. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, you know, asking, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, any goodness, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think about these things. We do that, joy begins to come. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we keep reminding ourselves of what God's done. That's why we tell the stories to each other about what God's done in the past. I heard a great story from Bea this morning about how God healed her back a few years ago. Fantastic story. Joy filled my heart as you shared the story with me. Also, what we do, because love is so important to the flowing of joy. Turn to John 15. Just let's read a few verses from there. Chapter 15, verse 9 to 17. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You see, I said God could have came as an almighty saviour and commanded peace and brought peace by force, but he didn't. He chose to bring it through love. And he chose to attack the very roots of evil in the world. He chose to attack the very roots, our fear of death, the lie that we have to get our own way by force. He chose to attack those roots and demonstrate, actually, that love wins. Even if you crucify it, love wins. He chose to undermine the very source of evil in the world rather than fix it, every evil on the surface. And the Savior lived in love. He went around healing people, yeah. He went around loving everybody, accepting everybody, demonstrating the kingdom, and encouraged us to love one another, to even love our enemies, even to love those who persecute us. That's why as River, you know, one of the things we love to say and do is to love everyone we meet. That's one of the things we don't live up to every day, but we aspire to live up to every day, to love everyone we meet, because that's how we see God operating. Confident that love won't fail. This means, of course, that we're taking the long route. We're not taking the quick route. This means that actually it takes a long time for God's kingdom to come sometimes. No quick fixes, no magic wands being waved to fix everything. Just a supreme confidence that love won't fail. That's the way God has chosen to redeem the world. And he tells us that I want my joy to live in you. I want my fullness of joy to live within you. And the way that lives within you is when you do what I say. And what I tell you is to love one another. So again, it just follows that if we love one another, if we lay down our lives, as he said, if we do put some of our own needs, some of our own issues behind us for one moment, because when we focus on those, we lose joy. If we put some of those behind us, actually focus on someone else's needs, someone else's issues, and help them, what happens is joy flows. Joy flows. Try it. I just dare you to try that. If you're struggling with joy at all today, I just say, actually, I'm just going to forget about my stuff for a moment. What I'm going to do is there someone else who's got some stuff I can help with today? Can I invite someone around who probably doesn't get out much? Invite them out for dinner or something, or have a cup of coffee with them. Can I give a gift to someone? Can I send someone a card? Can I do something which demonstrates I'm thinking about them, that I care for them? Joy will flow from that. Guaranteed. Jesus said it. We can bring joy. We can spread God's kingdom when we do that. The kingdom of heaven gets a bit bigger every time we love someone. Not only that, we also bring peace to people. We also spread God's love and God's joy when we ask the Father to do stuff. Because that's outrageous what Jesus said there, if you didn't notice in that little bit of scripture. But I think it's outrageous. He says, ask the Father whatever you want in my name and he'll do it. That's gobsmacking. It also sounds not to be true, doesn't it? We struggle with it, don't we? If we're honest, we do. We struggle with that one because we've asked for stuff and it hasn't happened. But this is the truth of what Jesus is saying. The truth is, regardless of what has happened, okay, what happens is real. I'm not saying that's not real. But the truth is, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do for you. I will do for you. Yeah, I will do it for you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name will be done for you. That is amazing. And you know, I know this God is incredible. He just does incredible things for us. And he treats us better than we deserve. And he loves to give us our heart's desire. So, you know, he does it on a personal level. I told you about the walking in the Himalayas. For me, that was a personal joy. He gave me my heart's desire. One day as a young man, I was praying and saying, God, I'd like to follow this man around and learn from him. And he was a kind of like big Christian leader named Roger Forster. And I never did anything to make that happen because I thought it was impossible. God brought his son to come and work for me, and I ended up following him around for a year and driving him around and staying in his home. God does that. He loves to do that. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire. He loves to do that because it brings joy. He wants to bring joy. Last year, as church leaders, we sat around. We were wrestling with the complexities of what River had become. We said, we think God's asking us to become a regional network. 4 churches. So we said, okay, let's say that. Look, we'll start talking about becoming a regional network. What happens? A month later, a church out of the blue contacts us and says, we want to link with you. You can't make that happen. That's God just saying, okay, that's the way we're going. That's good. I help. I want to help. We also said, you know, we want to help. Billy Kennedy's got a partnership. Pioneer got a partnership with the Methodists. We're one of the biggest churches in Pioneer. Actually, we'll help with that partnership. Wherever a Methodist wants, Billy said, can you help 40 Methodist churches? We said, that sounds a bit much. So we said, actually, no. We believe God's in this. We'll help. So we said, we're going to help. We don't know any Methodist churches we were helping at the time. This year, one Methodist church has come and asked for help. In Virginia Water. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I hear that a circuit leader over in Marlow has said, actually, there's another church now. I'd like you to come and actually see if we can partner together, see if we can bring some extra life there. So we can't make that happen. That's God saying, I want to help. Last year, I reduced my own salary. I said I wanted to pay the church leaders, so I reduced my own salary because I wanted to make sure all our church leaders were paid. And it was tough. This year, you guys have been really generous, and God's blessed us, and God's blessed some of you abundantly, and money's come in. And the trustees have said to me just this month, they said, we're going to restore your salary back up. That's God saying, I like what you're doing. I just want to help. Come on, that's a blessing for me, but it's a blessing for us. It's a blessing. And we all get that. And I tell you, God loves you. God doesn't love me. He loves me, but he loves you too. It's not about the leaders. It's not about those who've worked to get somehow special favor. He loves every one of us. His favor is towards us. We need to learn to grow in it and step out in it. I'm still learning. I tell you, I'm still learning on that journey. It's a tough journey. What am I doing, Karen? Oh, quick story, and then we're finished. Never mind. Quick story, then we're finished. You know, I've been struggling with this back pain for a month. I told you that already. And so last week we had healing rooms, and we saw some people get healed. One man came in, couldn't lift his arm up, and went out lifting his arm up and saying, praise God, I couldn't do this before I came in. We had a healing conference on the Saturday. Julian Richards up from Swansea, fantastic time. Some of the best teaching I've heard on healing. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Again, some healings around the room. I felt a bit of a fraud leading this meeting, this conference, in pain, having to lie down at times, having to sit down at times. But, you know, God doesn't need us to be or heal before he can use us. We carry our stuff, and sometimes we have to carry it longer than he wants us to. And so on Sunday night, we had deeper healing. That was another healing meeting, and I was leading that. And I was over in Wickham, and I was there, and I was in pain, to be honest with you. I didn't want to be there. And none of my team were there with me, and I thought, what am I doing here? I'm with this strange church, in pain, doing a healing meeting. But God really blessed me. Really blessed me. And during the worship, you know, I was just saying, God, what are we going to do? And he said, step into your grace, Colin. Step into your grace. What is the grace I've given you? And I thought, well, I know that you've promised to me, Lord, that you will heal arthritis when I pray for folk. And I've seen it on the streets of Maidenhead. I've seen people healed of arthritis immediately and go and demonstrate it to their family. And I said, okay, is anybody healed of arthritis? God wants to heal you tonight. And five people came forward, and we prayed for them. Every single one of them got a significant reduction in pain there and then, immediately. I was blessed. You know, I was blessed. And then a lady comes up and says, can you pray for my hearing? My blessing level went down. Because I pray for lots of people with hearing, you need to know, and I've never seen anybody get healed. I'm just being honest with you. And I find it tough when that happens. But I know that God loves people. And I know that he said, this is a healing. So I'm going to pray for you now. So I prayed for this lady. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. And in the name of Jesus, I said, just said, let your ears be opened. And I clicked beside both of her ears. And she went, whoa, my ears popped. I tried to talk to her, but the music was so loud, I couldn't hear her. So I thought, well, let's test this after the meeting's finished. And after the meeting, she were talking, and she said, I'm actually hearing and talking to people but looking them in the eye. Before tonight, I was lip reading the whole time. Now I can hear. You know, I'm telling you, it's because God loves us. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. And I'm struggling with you. I don't always see it, but sometimes I do. And I rejoice in that because God is good. He loves you. He loves me. And it's fantastic, this adventure of life that we're on. And the kingdom just keeps coming, keeps growing. Love keeps spreading. I love what we do with Santa's on the Street. I love what we do with Larchfield Festival. I love the fact that you guys are reaching out to the community. I was at Larchfield Open Table this week. Fantastic. Well done, Linda. It's brilliant. We're spreading the love. But this is what Jesus said. Spread the love. Love one another. Ask the Father to do stuff. And it's all going to glorify me. It's all going to glorify the Father. And the kingdom's going to come. Oh my word. Joy and love flowing. The kingdom coming. That's what Advent's all about. So let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, keep us looking. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you're for us. Thank you for the message you came to bring, that God is our loving Father who loves us as he loved you, who's sending us to this world as he sent you, to love one another, to bring the kingdom, to see your kingdom come. That fills us with joy, Lord Jesus. When we think about it, it fills us with joy. But if we're honest, we all need a fresh revelation of that. So I'm praying right now, Lord God, for a fresh revelation to come to every heart in the room. To my heart, a fresh revelation of your goodness, a fresh revelation of your favor resting on us. That we might go from here this morning with our hearts lifted up, that we might go singing like the shepherds went about your goodness, that we might go full of good news for those that we meet, that we might truly be able to love those that we meet, that we might truly be able to live like heaven is near, because that is the wonderful news that you came to bring. Heaven is near. The kingdom where there is no suffering, no sorrow, no pain, no death is coming, and it's near. Thank you. And thank you for the baby that it came with. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now, if you just keep our eyes closed as we and our heads bowed a moment, just because if you're here and you don't know that Savior, if you don't know the Savior who's come to save the world, if you haven't met him yet, you'd like to believe in him, but you're not sure if he's there. If that's you, I just ask you to be very brave and just raise a hand now. Thank you. Thank you. You put your hand down. I've seen it. Anybody else? Thank you. Yeah, I've seen your hand at the back there. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, I am going to pray for that person, Lord Jesus. They would know your love today. They would know the baby being born afresh in their life today, in their heart today, that baby that changes everything, that baby that about whom it was said, his government and peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, mighty God. Lord God, let that baby be born in that person's heart. Let life flow, let love flow, let grace flow, let joy and love flow in abundance, we pray. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful adventure that's beginning for her. Thank you, Jesus. And if we're honest, guys, you know, sometimes we all face stuff and the stuff gets on top of us. And some of us here this morning, we know we've allowed the stuff to get on top of us, the stuff to get on top of the joy, to get on top of the love. And actually, if you know, I don't want everybody to respond, but if you know that that is you, if you know, actually, you've let stuff get on top of you, then just be brave now and just stand. Because God wants to meet us again right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because grace is here this morning. Grace is here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, thank you. Thank you for these beautiful people that you love so much, you came to hang on a tree for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all pray, guys. Let's all pray for God's grace to be poured out on these lovely people that Jesus died for, that Jesus loves higher than the heavens are above the earth. Oh, Lord Jesus. So we just pray for the people that are standing. We pray for your grace to be outpoured. We pray for a fresh revelation of your goodness and of your love to come to them right now. Right now, for your spirit, Lord God, to fall on them afresh today. Right now. Right now. And they may feel stupid, like I felt stupid praying to you those years and years and years ago. But I know that your God who always comes. He said, if you open the door, I will come in and eat with you. And that's what Jesus is saying right now to every one of you that stood. I am coming in to eat with you right now. I'm coming in to eat with you. Sweet fellowship, sweet times together. I am coming to be with you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your fellowship that's coming to these people. Thank you that joy is rising in their hearts. Help them, Lord Jesus, with the thought patterns. Help them, Lord Jesus, with the day-to-day thinking and doing. And bless them, Lord God. Thank you that you've declared them your friends. You declared them your friends. And that's what Jesus speaks over you, my friend. Oh, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let your kingdom come. Bless them. Okay. Thank you, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. As we finish our meeting, we're going to be playing May We Never Lose Our Wonder, which is the song. We're not going to have the video this week. You've got to wait for next week. But that song, which is the sort of theme tune of our Advent series, is going to be playing just for you to enjoy. Can I ask the parents to go fetch their children now quite speedily for us? Thank you.